Hey, all right. Well, it has been a great time, great food, great fellowship. And Dinah and I want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Chapel and the Rules for their hospitality and for everyone that made this a priority this weekend. Thank you very much. We've had a great, great time with you. And now we're headed back home. I talked to my daughter, Jenny, and she said, "Oh, Dad," she said, "It's 14 degrees and about 20 mile an hour winds, and but she said the sun is out today, so you'll. But I won't get home until it's already gone." Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. We're gonna. If you've got your little booklet there, page number 30 and 31. Well, speaking about an important matter in. Moving forward in our marriages and our family life and personal lives, and that's this matter of minimizing the scars of our past sins. And in Genesis chapter number 4, Cain, the first son born to a woman, and first murderer, was given a scar that he carried with him all of his hundreds and hundreds of years that he lived on planet Earth. The Bible says here in verse number 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain," this is Genesis 4, verse 9, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from the ground, or from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. I was preaching in Ohio several years ago, And on a Wednesday evening before the service, I like to get there early if possible when I go somewhere and speak and go around and shake hands and meet people. And so I was worming my way around the congregation there and talking with people. And suddenly from behind, a man put his arms around me. And he's these massive, whatever that part of the arm is called, forearm there, that was just... Looked like my thigh. I mean, they were just thick, you know, just putting them around. I'm suddenly in a mood to pray and asking God to help me if that this man really is not going to squeeze me to death. And he spun me around, and big burly fellow, and he said, "I've been looking forward to meeting you, Pastor Kingsbury." I stopped praying and breathed a sigh of relief. And he said, "I was a biker, and I saw a sign out here on the highway about an addictions program Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. And several months ago, I came here, and now I'm a Christian, and I'm in this place here. And God's really changing my life." And to prove his point that God was really changing his life, he said, "I just want to show you what a tremendous change has taken place." He took those massive arms and he held them out like this, Pastor. And here on the inside of his forearm were tattoos. They were scars, and you know, they had placed on there. And he said, "Take, look at there." Well, what was there was they were caricatures of a woman, one on each arm. He said, "Before I came to this church and came to IRU, before I got saved," he said, "these women were naked, but now notice I had dresses put on them." He was minimizing the scars of his sin. I thought that was pretty creative. Now Cain did not have that option, but we're familiar with scars. Many of us have read the romantic fiction novel, The Scarlet Letter, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. If you have not, you should. It's written in 1850, or actually published in 1850. It's still a classic today. About a woman, Esther Prynne. And Hester conceived and gave birth to a daughter as a result of an adulterous relationship with a man that she refused to identify to her life. It would be a identifying mark of the shame of her sin. And it was their desire to, for her lifetime, to humiliate this woman in every relationship of life. This would become the dominant characteristic of who she was. And that's the way scars are. Oftentimes, if we do not learn from God's Word how to minimize the scars of bad decisions that we've made in life, they become our identifying characteristic and trademark in life. But I'm glad to know that in spite of the fact that we do not see anywhere in the Bible that Cain was successful in or even made effort to minimize the scar of his sin, the mark that God placed upon him, within the very context of these verses, when we see the nature of God, and we also see how God will enable us, if we're willing, He'll enable us to minimize the scars of our sins. Where our divorce or our drug addictions or our illicit affair or our addiction to this or to that does not have to become or remain the dominant characteristic identifying who we are. I'm glad to know that we can have the scars of our sins, the scars of our past, minimized. And so I want to point out to you this morning and prove to you from the text how scars of sin may be minimized. Number one, Cain could have minimized his scar by focusing on, here's the word, growth, G-R-O-W-T-H. Now, by definition, someone who is backsliding is describing a decline. Someone who is going both backwards and downwards at the same time. Progress, on the other hand, involves an upward and a forward movement. That's why it's always easier to slide backwards than it is to go forward in life. And the decline can be much more rapid than the progress forward. But had Cain, along the way of his departure from God and his murder of his brother, and preceding that, the refusal to bring the proper offering to the Lord, he had opportunity after opportunity to turn the tide and to change direction, God giving him the solutions along the way to resolve the problem and continue on in growth rather than retardation or retarding backwards. And eventually, though, there was a mark that was placed upon Cain, a scar. Now, growing Christians are maturing Christians. They sin, but their growth continues proportionate to their willingness to repent, place their faith in God, and demonstrate their trust in Him by their obedience to Him. The reverse of that, then, is decline. Now, I do not know why it is along the way that Cain refused to repent and turn back and grow as he could have and should have, but he could have reversed the decline had he made that decision. You see, repentance and faith in God and confession of our sin and restoration to fellowship with those whom we have injured, genuine humility will inevitably reverse spiritual decline and will restore us to a time of growth in our lives. Let me point it out to you this way, and just by means of an analogy, how scars can be minimized through growth and a focus on growth. A young man and his fiancée were walking down a lane in a wooded forest that had been owned by her family. That forest included several beech trees, which are ideal for carving one's initials in, and they and their young love carved their initials inside of a heart, pledging themselves to one another for life. And eventually, they did marry, and they began to experience life together and had several children. But an adulterous relationship entered into the life of the husband. And soon it spiraled downward and led to divorce and him leaving and moving to another part of the country. And the young lady, the now married and divorced, and she moved back home and to her parents' home, and that joy she used to derive from walking down the path in the woods was dulled by the obvious heart with her initials and his initials inside of it. And every time she saw the scar in that beech tree and along that pathway, it brought great sorrow to her heart. That's what scars do, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally. And so after a while, she just stopped going. Many, many years passed. Now, remarkably, after more than two decades, even three, as a much older woman and as a much older man, this woman walked through the doors of a Bible-believing church, and though she had been saved early in her life, she came back to the Lord, and she began to reach out to her husband. Now, I think maybe you know this is more than a parable. It's based on a man and his wife who are now dear friends to Mrs. Kingsbury and me, whom in their 70s I had the joy of remarrying. And now then, at least two of their adult children have come back to the Lord. But the husband and wife, now back together and in love with one another, decided one day to take a journey back to that her home where she had grown up and where they had carved their initials in the tree, and wanted to go back and just rejoice in what God had done in their lives. And they went through for a walk in that woods, that same woods, down that same path. And they discovered that it was very difficult to even identify the beech tree any longer. But they finally did. And to their amazement, the scar was still there of their initials inside of a heart that at one time had brought to this woman great sorrow and great heartache. But now, to their amazement, that scar, which three decades earlier was the dominant characteristic on that beech tree, was now only a little scar. Now, the scar didn't disappear. It didn't go away. But the tree grew.
Amen.
Now, that is exactly what I'm talking to you about this morning. The way to minimize the scars of our past is to grow. To grow in our relationship, to grow spiritually, to grow and mature. And as we grow and mature, those sins of the past, those hurts of the past, those scars of the past, they become a much smaller part of our lives and of our history. They do not have to define who we are for the rest of our lives. Now, the I don't know what the mark was on Cain. It may have been an M for murderer. I don't know. But I do know this, that we think of Cain today and we immediately think of murder. But when you think of Moses, what do you think of? You think of a great lawgiver. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I would remind you, Moses was also a murderer. But it did not define his life. Why? Because Moses continued to grow. When we think of David, you don't think of David and associate him just generally. Oh yeah, David, and yet Uriah the Hittite, he was complicit in his murder. Was he not? But you think of David, a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David grew. When you think of the Apostle Paul, 12, maybe 13 books out of the New Testament, you don't think of him there egging on the crowd to take the life of a deacon in the church there in Jerusalem, Stephen. You don't think of him hailing men and women to prison and being a part of them being falsely accused and tried and persecuted and put to death. But he was. But Paul grew. Now this is so encouraging to me, because anyone and everyone that I meet, and myself included, we all have things in our lives that we regret, at least we ought to regret. Those sins, those hurts, those scars, but they do not have to be the defining characteristic of who we are. They can be minimized if we'll grow. Number two, Cain could have minimized his scar by requesting assistance. Requesting assistance. You know, he so removed himself from his mother and father, who could have been an incredible help to Cain. You know, they too had disobeyed God, and they too had remorse and guilt and issues that they had dealt with. They could have been help to him. But he separated himself from them. And if you and I refuse to seek the assistance of people, and particularly and most of all, he ought to have requested the assistance of God himself. If we refuse to do that, those scars, those sins of the past are going to continue to plague us in our present and in our future. You know, along the way, everywhere you see in this story of Cain that we talked about last night, you see the opportunity that God is giving to this man to turn around. Why? Because God is so incredibly merciful. God wants you and I to succeed more than we could ever want ourselves to succeed. He wants our personal lives, our marriages, our family life, our business life. He wants our Christian lives to be fulfilling. After all, he started us out in paradise, in Eden. And he's there for would have been there for Cain. Cain could have requested the assistance of the Lord. He could have found forgiveness and grace and mercy, because that is the very nature of God himself. I think of when God pronounced the curse on Cain, Cain said this, "My punishment is far greater than I can bear." God said, that's not even a request, but God, in response to that, said, "Well, I'm going to help you." And anyone that touches Cain, I'll punish them seven times more. Wow. That's the mercy and grace of God without Cain even asking for it. Can you imagine how dynamic and how different the whole story would have been if instead of Cain just complaining and saying, "You know, this punishment is far greater than I can bear," If he would have simply said, oh God, I am so sorry. I repent of my sin. I'll go back and I'll give you the first fruits. I'll go back and I'll get right with dad and mom. I ask you for your forgiveness for murdering and hating my brother. If he would have asked for God's assistance, God would have given it to him. Do you know, our past scars could be minimized if we just do more of this. Really, if we would pray, if we would ask God for his help, if we would with humility seek the assistance of those that can help us and that God puts into our lives, it would be amazing at how well we could grow spiritually and experience this matter of having our scars minimized. Number three. We may minimize our scars. Cain could have minimized his scar by rebuilding his life in the presence of the Lord. You know, he went out from the presence of the Lord. He went to a land called Nod. What does Nod mean? Well, it's the same Hebrew word for vagabond. You know, he went out and established a community, lived among people that were vagabonds and wanderers, people like himself. You know, he said, my punishment is far greater than I can bear. He's living over in Nod. He said, everybody that sees me is going to want to kill me because I'm a murderer. Now stop and think with me for a moment. What kind of an atmosphere is someone living in when everyone who sees them in a pitiful situation, such as a scar from a sinful past, what kind of person would want to kill you? Maybe, Cain, you need to think about relocating. Maybe you need to think about going back to church. Maybe you need to think about establishing close Christian friendships with people that will inspire and challenge and encourage you. You see, the reason why Cain knew that his life would be that of a vagabond and wanderer is because Cain chose to live among vagabonds and wanderers. Tomorrow night we'll have a graduation from our little discipleship program there in Rockford, and we have them meet the last Sunday night of each month. I think there are five or six men and ladies that are graduating. And you know, over the years, when we finish out on Sunday night and after church is dismissed, their families and friends and stay there and we have a little ceremony. They receive a certificate and a Bible and a Strong's Concordance and some awards that we give to them. And I have a little discussion with the graduates and their families. And I've grown into the habit. I got it from Steve Currington. This is the man that founded this ministry of Reformers Unanimous. Because this is what he would always say. And now since he's been gone the last 3.5 years, I say the same thing. And it'll be this. No bad friends. Because we know inevitably if they leave Rockford and if they leave North Love Baptist Church and they leave this ministry and they go back and they go back to bad friends, they're going to eventually return to their sin. That's why Lancaster Baptist Church exists in the Antelope Valley. That's why these other churches are in the other. This is not a museum. They didn't invite you to come to their church so you could admire or be jealous of or just say, wow, this is really great. And this, you know, they're there. They're a spiritual hospital for you and me. They're there because they will not condemn you. They will not pick up stones and throw them at you. They realize the scars of sin and they want to heal those scars and minimize those scars. And everybody there has scars in their lives and in their past also. And it is an encouraging environment. And by the way, I would not say that about every church, and I would not say that about every independent Baptist church either. But I'm glad to know that this church and then this body of believers, that a person like Cain with scars, they don't have to live in Nod. They don't have to hang around the vagabonds. They don't have to be out there with the outcasts. They can find new friends in Christ in a Bible-believing church, and that will minimize the scars of their sin. So, I don't know what scars you have, but I know that they can be minimized by focusing on growth, requesting assistance from the Lord, and rebuilding your life in the presence of the Lord among people that love the Lord and serve God with their lives. Let's pray together. I'd like to invite you to make three commitments this morning in response to God's word. Number one, a commitment to grow. You may be plateauing right now, or you may seem to be plateauing. I'm not sure if that really happens in the Christian life. It seems like we're either going forward or backwards. Is there a time in your life when you'd say, you know, honestly, there was a time when I was closer to the Lord and walking in greater fellowship with Him and obedience to Him? Then, my friend, if that's true, then you're backsliding. You need to go forward. We all need to continue going forward. And this morning, I'd like to encourage us as husbands and wives to say we're going to minimize the scars. We've had some arguments. We've had some times in our lives, in our marriage, and we've said some things and done some things that have been hurtful. But we want to minimize that scar by continuing to grow spiritually. And eventually, it won't be tomorrow, it won't be next week. It may take a while, but that scar, as you grow, will become a much smaller part of who you are. Then I'd like to encourage you to request the assistance of the Lord and others, but particularly the Lord. Prayer is an amazing, life-changing experience. When we pray, we don't tell God anything He doesn't know. But it gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our faith in Him by asking for His help. And then let's commit ourselves, thirdly, to building our lives, rebuilding our lives in the presence of the Lord. Making changes in our friendships and fellowships, if necessary, in order that we might minimize the scars of the sins of the past and go forward in our lives personally and in our marriages with greater love for the Lord, greater success in our homes and in our family life. Our Father in heaven, I thank You for the wonderful opportunity that we've had to think about these last couple of days, the first family, Adam and Eve, and particularly Cain. And I know that there are, in all of our lives, there are issues that can remain painfully dominant in identifying who we are, but I'm grateful from Your word and through even the unsuccessful life of Cain that we can see that it can be different. And I pray for this dear church and for these dear people. And I thank You for our friendship. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for giving us grace and mercy. And I pray that Your hand of blessing will continue upon us as we continue to walk in obedience to You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Just have our heads bowed for just a brief moment. And I have our heads bowed just for privacy, just for a moment in prayer. But I'd like you just to think right now about this last message. Three commitments. The commitment to grow, the commitment to seek God, the commitment to seek God through the other resources, the church, the fellowship that He's given to you. No couples retreat is a cure-all in and of itself. But if you'll make the commitment to grow, this can be the seed today. This can be the seed. And the scars of the past will grow smaller and smaller and smaller as you make that commitment to grow. And I'd just like to ask you right now to pray about that. Father, help us not to foolishly think that one retreat makes a difference in the sense of not applying these truths. We've got to apply them and we've got to grow. So help us to make the commitment to grow and to seek counsel if necessary and to find refuge in your church. Thank you for what we've learned these few days. And may this be a stronger church because we have stronger families, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said, amen. That was a good finish for us. And thank you once again for being a part of this. And I just want to commend each of you for recognizing the need to just come apart and work on your marriage. And we give our cars tune-ups and oil changes. Sometimes we neglect the most important things in life. So it's been a blessing, and we look forward to seeing what God has in store. Pray for the services tomorrow that God will bless. Enjoy your afternoon. Brother Rule, come and tell us what we need to know by way of dismissal, and we'll be on our way.
Amen. I do want to encourage you in the back of your notebook, the very last page, to take some time today and reflect